Hello, this is the What Are You Doing podcast, the next gen podcast of the Arizona Mission Network of Southern Baptist. My name is John Walton, and today I am here with KJ Kennel. I'm really excited to get to talk to him. This is a different kind of an episode than our other episodes. What we're going to be doing is talking to KJ about what he does in his ministry and trying to learn more about him. So just to start, KJ, could you introduce yourself? What church are you at? You know, how'd you get into youth ministry? What's your story?
Sure. Well, I'm KJ Kennel. I am at Heartcry Church in Queen Creek, Arizona. I've been here at Heartcry for 8 years now. Before that, I was at First Southern Baptist Church Glendale for 7 years. So I jumped right into ministry, youth ministry particularly, right out of high school. Josh Tompkins took me under for his, took me under, that's weird. He took me under his wing as an intern right out of high school. And it's interesting because in my senior year of high school, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I met Josh at a kids camp, and I said, I know that the Lord is calling me into ministry, but I don't know what aspect of ministry. And so he told me to come check out youth ministry. And from that moment on, I just knew that the Lord has called me straight to youth ministry. And I don't see myself leaving youth ministry anytime soon. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome. So how long have you been doing youth ministry now?
Yeah, it's been probably 15, 16 years now in youth ministry.
Vocationally. How have you noticed youth ministry change over that time?
It's changed a lot. There's been a lot of changes. It's funny because 15 years ago, ministry was, like I said, way different. But what's cool is, like, in the last few years, I've seen a great change in parent involvement. From when I first started, we would have students come to youth group that don't have a relationship at home. Their parents weren't involved anywhere, and they would come because they wanted to come and be there. And it was strictly a ministry for students. Mm-hmm. I think now, in the last few years that I've seen, it's been a ministry for students and their parents. And I'm really excited about that because it involves the whole family now, and I appreciate that.
That's really neat, and that's special that you've been able to build that. Now, one of the things for me that I've been really impressed by, and now I even want to ask about the parent aspect as well, but the main focus that I've noticed before is what you do with volunteers. When I see and hear about the number of volunteers that you have, it's amazing to me. But the other part as well is I've gotten to see at camps and retreats the ways that you've kind of enabled and equipped your volunteers to really serve and move within their gifting. So I'm just to start, what do you do with volunteers and what has the journey with your volunteers been like?
Yeah. Early on in the ministry, it was a lot of me doing my own thing. And then I couldn't discipline myself enough to allow my volunteers to do something. And so what I found is that I would do it all myself. One, I would burn myself out. But two, they didn't feel like they were involved. Mm. They showed up and then went home. They didn't have anything to do. We needed them just because we need adults there, but they didn't feel like they needed anything. So it took me a long time to figure out that I have to delegate, maybe. I don't know if that's the best word for it, but empower them to do something, make it their own ministry. And so when I realized that, when I could let myself stop doing everything and allow them to start serving and loving our students and being a part of it, owning it themselves, then we saw a lot more involvement with our adult leaders. And a lot more longevity. Our leaders would start to stick around longer because they're invested in these students now. So I think a big part of it is allowing them to feel like it is their ministry. Because we all know that the youth pastor, if a ministry is based on a youth pastor, it's not going to survive. Mm-hmm. Because that youth pastor can come and go. But our small groups, our adult leaders, the volunteers, they're the ones that are going to stick around with them.
So what is it that you do to make it their ministry? What is it that you do? Is there a shift in the language? Is there a shift in how you think about it? How does it move from being the one-man band, youth pastor running everything, to, no, this is your ministry. These are the students that you're overseeing and we've trusted you with.
Yeah, I think a part of it was My heart for my adult leaders was more, you have to lay the foundation for your adult leaders. So you invest into your leaders, and then you'll see your ministry grow. I think it's hugely important that you involve them. You get them involved by training. We do a monthly meeting every month with our adult leaders. We talk about what's coming up. We talk about schedule. And then in those monthly meetings, I try to encourage them with the series that we're going to go through. So we're going to go through it first by ourselves, and then we're going to talk to our students about it. So they feel like they're getting a word for themselves. And then because of that, they can understand what they're teaching to the kids now. So I think that's huge. Once you lay the foundation for your adult leaders and love them and empower them, then you'll start to see the ministry grow, because they're going to do the same to their people that under them, their students.
Absolutely. Now, as I'm listening to this, I find it a little bit challenging because I think it's kind of counter the way a lot of us think. There's a degree to which the way that you're able to invest in students the best is not by investing in the students, but investing in the leaders that are going to reach the students better than you can.
Well, it's so true. And I have found, because our ministry has grown so much, that I can't be the one that goes to every football game, every band recital, every concert, whatever it is. And so I love my adult leaders, and tell them this is what we're doing. And then they go and serve their small groups. So each one of our volunteers is plugged into a small group. And we started this thing this year where we are challenging our adult leaders to do certain things with their kids, with their small group leaders. And it's kind of a game that we're playing with our adult leaders. And by the end of the year, whoever has the most points is going to get a pretty cool prize. So we can play games with our adult leaders, and they love it. But it's also challenging them to be a part of our students' lives in every aspect of their lives.
Well, and that's awesome too, because now you're this is one of the things that we look at. For the students that stay in church after they graduate from high school, so often one of the biggest statistics for the longevity of staying plugged in the church is the number of adults that you know in the church that you can trust. And by what you're doing, you're actually helping them to have more connections with more adults. That's awesome. I'm curious, as you're looking at small group leaders, as you're looking at your volunteers, the point where you're at right now, I'm sure had a smaller beginning. So how did you get to that point? How did you get started? If there's someone looking and thinking to themselves, I only have a volunteer, how do you move in the direction to where you are right now?
We've been there. My wife had to be a volunteer, right? Because
I know
she
it.
where
I've been there. I've been there.
the wife has to be a part of it. But from there, a big part of it is for us in particular. Like, my story is going to be different than everybody's, but our church has grown a lot in the last 5 years. Our church has grown a ton, and so with that, just the nature of the beach, we have people, more people, and more people to pick from. But I think part of growing our ministry was, one, using my pastor. He has great discernment in people. So one, the lowest spiritual gift on mine is discernment. I've taken the test, and it is down low. So I always reach out to him and say, "What do you think about this person? Would he make a good? Would she make a good volunteer?" And so he would answer that question for me. He would help me with that, and together we'd find a good ministry leaders. And then just go out and ask, like. Obviously, we're not going to ask from the platform a broad statement, because then you'll get all the crazy people, right? And there are background checks, everything that has to happen. But I've found some of my strongest leaders that I've had weren't plugged into the church at all, simply because nobody asked them to. And they were waiting for somebody to come and approach them and encourage them to be a part of a ministry. And when they did, when I did that, they would join the youth group. Their wives would join other ministries. Their kids were plugging in. Like, you just have to go out and seek who those people are. That's been my story, at least.
Yeah, so very much a personal ask, get to know the person. And then in your structure as well, there's more of an emphasis on investing in the leaders because the leaders are the ones who are going to invest in the students. And once you get to that larger size, you can't be Superman. You can't do it on your own. That's awesome. Let me just ask you, because I know we're running out of time, unfortunately, and this has been really exciting to get to hear all of this. for someone that is listening to this and thinking, I could never do this. Maybe at your church, but maybe not my church. How would you encourage them? What would you point them towards? What are maybe some next steps that you would encourage?
Good question. I think the first step is prayer, obviously. I'm a huge advocate for praying. I think I have seen in my own life what God does through prayer, and answering those prayers. So I ask God for prayer. I ask God for guidance in all of it, first and foremost. And then when that happens, you just have to be bold enough to go out and talk to people. Which is, it's hard because as a youth pastor or anybody in ministry, like our goal is to be involved in people's lives. And sometimes it's terrifying to do that, but I think you have to do it. You just have to be bold enough to go talk to somebody. And when you do, you find out that maybe they are the perfect fit for your ministry, and then bring them on board. That's it. That's the first step to do.
And then everything flows out of that.
Yeah, it's amazing what God can do when you're obedient to his call.
That's awesome. Okay, Jay, it was awesome to get to hear kind of your story, your background. It's been a joy for me over the years to get to partner with you. Is there anything else that you'd like to share or point people towards if they want to kind of grow in this area?
I appreciate you coming out here. I know it's a long drive all the way out here. But I love youth. I love youth ministry. I think we are doing good stuff at the Southern Baptist Convention, and I can't wait to see what God's going to keep doing here in Arizona. It's going to be fun.
Thanks, KJ. I hope this was helpful to you. Again, this is the What Are You Doing? What Are You Doing podcast, excuse me, the next gen podcast of the Arizona Mission Network of Southern Baptists. Hope this was helpful for you, praying for all of you youth ministers out there.